hear Jesus' warning concerning false prophets. Next on Sound Doctrine.
Jesus says, I want you to be warned about these guys. Number one, they will deceive and draw others after themselves. They will not care about God's full counsel. And number two, they also will go for the buck. They like money. Many times, false prophets are in to the getting the cash and having the pledges and keep the money coming in. Let's take up another offering. The first one wasn't enough.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Jesus said in the last days, take heed that no man deceive you, and many will be deceived. We're seeing that play out before our eyes today, aren't we? So we need God's discernment, and today's Sound Doctrine can serve to help sharpen those skills. Pastor Jeff Johnson is in Matthew chapter 7, where we learn about counterfeits, or false prophets, how to both recognize them and deal with them too. So with Bible in hand and an open heart, let's join Pastor Jeff.
The biggest danger is in what they don't teach. And here's the scary thing. It's not so much in what they teach, because they usually just teach the things that everybody likes to hear. And when they hear it, they think, oh, they're Christian. Everything's fine. No. They say the right things, but they leave out the vital things. That's how subtle a false prophet is. Leaving out the vital things. They have no emphasis on righteous living. In fact, many times they were giving wrong counsel, as what's going on in liberal homes today. It's wrong counsel. And the lesson is so horrendous. It's terrible, because if you give wrong counsel to somebody, you can cause their destruction, their death. Let me give you an example. There was a woman that had her two children, and she was getting on the train. And she was very nervous. She doesn't travel the train very much. And her kids are all trying to get in. This guy saw them come on the train. He helped them in with all their luggage. And then the ticket guy came around. Tickets, tickets, tickets. And she gave the ticket guy her ticket and said, sir, please, I don't want to miss my stop. I do not ride this train. I don't know what's going on. Please, would you warn me before my stop? And he goes, oh, don't worry about it. Tickets, tickets, everyone, tickets. And this guy looked at how this guy sounded. And he goes, ma'am, I travel this train all the time. I know the stop that you want. I'll let you know right before the stop when to get off, okay? And so they were going along, and finally the train stopped, and the guy came to his senses. He said, oh, ma'am, this next one, after this one, is your stop. So they waited, and they were getting her stuff together, and the train stopped, and he helped her off, and it was storming. I mean, there was a blizzard outside. And so they all got off, and he just closed the door, and the train took off. Half an hour down the road, the ticket guy came back and said, where's that woman? I was supposed to tell her that her next stop is coming up. And the man goes, what are you talking about? The next stop was the last stop. He goes, no, we had an emergency stop. We had to stop for a few minutes. But where's the woman? I let her out back there half an hour ago. By the time they got back there, all three of them were dead and frozen. In the blizzard, nowhere to go. He left them out in nowhere. Leading somebody astray can destroy their lives, man. We need to go the straight and narrow. We need to go God's way. The false prophet has no straight gate or narrow way in his gospel. He offends no one and yet pleases everyone. He's got a great disguise. He looks just like a sheep. He couldn't hurt a fly. Look at him, so innocent looking. The false prophet was throughout the Old Testament. In fact, many times in Jeremiah that we've been going through on Wednesday nights, we heard about the false prophets, and they came on the scene And they would always say, in the name of the Lord, which is so deceiving. And they would give a wrong prophecy saying, this is what God says. And God told Jeremiah, that's not my heart. I did not send these guys. Tell the people not to listen to these guys. Oh, well, there already are, and they like what they're hearing. They like that there's only going to be 2 years, and then everything's going to be brought back. They like what they're listening to. But it's not of God. That's wrong. Don't listen to that. But they've already been taken in. They've been deceived. Can you imagine when it didn't come to pass as the prophets said it was going to come to pass, which were not prophets sent by God, how depressed they were and how discouraged and how let down they were? We need to be careful who we listen to. We need to always line it up with the Word of God. Always. But they sought to ridicule, to question, to resist, to denounce. And they said, in God's name, peace, and peace, it's going to be fine. And they are very comforting people with their message of love and comfort. It's okay. But don't listen to Jeremiah. He's a narrow-minded man. Don't listen to him. Don't let him trouble you, because he is a troublemaker. The sad note is that in this whole sequence of events there in the Old Testament, God says, my people like to have it so. They got so deceived and so into this deception that after a while they loved to hear these things, because they wanted to hear good things, positive things, things that are going to, you know, pick them up a little bit. Is that where you're at? Is that what you want to hear? And then God says, my people like to have it so. And yet they're being ripped off. They're being deceived. The false prophet's doctrine is very deceptive. He's so reassuring at times. And yet his message is very vague and it's shallow. He doesn't like to hear sound doctrine, healthy teaching. He doesn't like to hear about dying to self and holiness and righteousness. Well, he preaches God's love, but it's without the wrath of God. Okay? He doesn't believe in this, and neither does he teach these things about righteousness and holiness. And he doesn't care about God's full counsel. It's not important to him. He only talks of love, and yet there's no balance in his teaching. He avoids the issue of sin, the things that are true and righteous. He is false, and so he conceals the truth, and that makes sense. And I think when you really look at this individual, I think it's just as damnable as a heretic that he preaches a false gospel, gives false hope to people, and deceives them. He's a ravening wolf, is what Jesus talks about. His way is destruction. It's without righteousness again. It's without holiness and judgment. They're not part of his vocabulary. And so Jesus says, I want you to be warned about these guys. Number one, they will deceive and draw others after themselves. They will not care about God's full counsel. And number two, they also will go for the buck. They like money. Many times, false prophets are in to the getting the cash and having the pledges and keep the money coming in. Let's take up another offering. The first one wasn't enough. And it's this thing of consuming it upon themselves. Over in 2 Peter, he warns us of these guys. And he says in verse 3 of 2 Peter chapter 2, he says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words, deceitful words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time lingereth, and their damnation slumbereth not. They love money. Over in 2 Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy in chapter 4 in verse 3, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves these teachers, having itching ears, loving to hear the good things. Tell us about what's going to happen, how good it's going to be, and how wide is the narrowness. You can get in. Don't worry about it. Bring your luggage. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. The early church had what is called the Didache, and they wanted to know, they needed something to go by to tell if they're a false prophet or not. And so they wrote up this Didache. The Didache was there to let them know who is a false prophet and who is not. Now, a false prophet is somebody that comes to your church and he's prophesying, and then he says, you know, I'd like to go home and have a meal with you. Well, he's a false prophet. He's after, you know, getting a meal. I mean, if he didn't ask, you give him, you know. And if he stays more than one night, if he stays and says, you know, I like this place, I think I'll stay here 2, 3, maybe the week, he's a false prophet. And if he wants to take up a collection for himself, he says it's for others, he's a false prophet. If he deals with money, this is one of the interesting things. There's a lot of people that are begging for money today, guys. Be careful. Because that's one of the signs in the Didache that they're a false prophet. Paul said, I didn't covet your silver and your gold. I worked with my own hands. I tried to be a witness to you guys. And so these guys are out fleecing the flock, not feeding the flock as the Lord has instructed. I love it when Paul was in front of Felix and Drusilla, his wife. And he pointed out some things to them. It says that he reasoned, and this is in Acts 24:25. He reasoned of righteousness. He talked to them about temperance because they were living together in sin. And he talked about judgment to come. And Felix began to tremble. He didn't like this talk. He said, get rid of this guy. And he left him bound in prison. I don't want to hear any more of this stuff. You see, a lot of people don't want to hear this. About living righteous lives, dealing with sin, talking about judgment. The false prophet doesn't see the utter sinfulness of sin. Again, he changes his vocabulary. I heard of this one church that the pastor said, here is the definition of born again. Before you're born again, you have low self-esteem. Okay, you following me? When you get born again, guess what? You have high self-esteem now. Isn't that great? Don't we all need it? And isn't that on a lie, you know? And how twisted people get. Blessed are you when you're poor in spirit, man. And you humble yourself before a mighty God and are broken of this self-esteem stuff. And God will raise you up. Anoint you and use you. He doesn't like to talk about the need for salvation in Jesus because sin is always downplayed. Feelings are now the focus. Hey, how do you feel? Oh, did they hurt you? Oh, come here. Let me give you a hug. And they're into feelings, man. They want to hug you and, oh, man, I feel so bad. And you're just going, oh, thank you, man. This guy's full of love. But that's the focus, you see. And it's dangerous. It's deceptive. And we have to be careful. He doesn't dwell on the real issue, and that is what? Man's lostness, his fallen and depraved nature. I mean, that's what we need to deal with here. That's why Jesus came and died. But the false prophet doesn't want to talk about these. And here's the deceptive thing. He doesn't want to talk about these things, and yet everybody around believes that he believes these things. Whew. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the preaching of the cross, his death and resurrection is not part of his psyche. He can't understand it. He wrestles with it. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. He doesn't want to talk about that. He doesn't want to go there. What is this thing of losing one's life to gain it? Oh, come on, I don't understand that. It's not part of his belief system. But he talks always around the cross. It is a little wider, isn't it? To him, religion is a beautiful thing, a philosophy of love. And he can't believe why the world doesn't, embrace it. Why the world doesn't, why they're not interested. And he makes a big deal about it. The false prophet doesn't emphasize repentance. He doesn't even understand repentance. He has a wide, remember that Broadway outlook. Again, bring in your luggage. Go in. And sin in the camp? Sin in one's life is not an important big deal at all. Don't worry about it. Just pick it up and we'll go from here. It's not a priority. And yet with God, it does matter, doesn't it? Because unless we repent, unless we are truly sorry in the way that we're going, unless we deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow him, there is no change in a person's life or forgiveness. There's no born again. In Jeremiah 23:32, he talks about the false prophets dealing lightly with God's people. They just give them a little bit and keep them just pacified. We need more than just being pacified. We need to be challenged. We need to be exhorted to come to Christ, to follow him, to truly be born again, and not to play church, not to have religion, but have a relationship. Next week, we're going to talk about those that say, Lord, Lord. Very important week. Don't miss next Sunday. There's a line being drawn in the sand. And the Lord's challenging us. Who will serve the Lord that he may bless them? And what gets me about that is when God said that with Moses, he said, you cross the line who want to be blessed. In other words, you cannot be blessed unless you choose the Lord. Unless you go his way. It's narrow, isn't it? But oh, is it awesome. And oh, how many are missing it. It's one way. But this false prophet has a pharisaical mindset. He has the way of saying, hey, I'm okay, you're okay.
Hey,
we're all okay. And everybody goes, it's okay. Is that okay with you? Okay, yeah. Is that okay with you? Yeah. We're okay. When we're not. Remember, the pride of life is under judgment. The false prophet offers an easy salvation. Oh, come on. You don't have to examine yourself. Let it go, man. Remember, sin is not an issue here. All you need is Jesus. Ooh, is that deceptive or what? Let's don't deal with the issue. You know Jesus?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all you need. Don't have to deal with anything else. False prophet never teaches about spiritual warfare. He doesn't teach about the full armor of God that we need to have on in these last days. But he teaches an easy Christian living. And I'll tell you something. This teaching that I'm sharing today, I don't know how many of you have ever heard of one of these teachings, but it is not very popular today. And it's not going to, win you a lot of friends. In the church today, it needs to be taught, but it's not. Because there's just a proliferation of false prophets everywhere. And rightly so, in that we are in the last days. Wouldn't this be one of his big plants? And so there will be confusion. There will be times of hearing weird things. But oh man, Lord, help us to mature in our faith. That we'll be men and women of God that hear these things and they just, gosh, that's not of the Lord. That's of the enemy. We just dump it and we steady on and fight the good fight and believe the truth that will set us free. But oh, the gossip and the talk and the things that take place. Today's teaching is, can't we just be one And then we're going to have this brother come up and pray for us. Brother? He's not even of the same faith. He doesn't believe in the same God as you do. Oh, come on. We're just going to all be one. Boy, is that a setup or what? And boy, do they really want it. Well, you know, we need a Palestinian state for Israel. Israel, move over. Give them some land. Come on. It's like, you know, telling, oh, Cochise, and you're in. Come on back. We'll give you the land we took from you. Well, is that going to happen? No. Then why is everybody pushing Israel militarily as a nation to do the very same thing, the land that they confiscated as the aggressor came against them? Why are we making them give it back every single time when it's their land to begin with? In 1948, they made the proclamation that the Palestinian state is to be in Jordan. They blew it, though. The Palestinians started goofing off and started to do all kinds of terrorism-type stuff. And the King Hussein said, I will not have it in my country. Get out of here. And pushed them over the border. And now we got this Palestinian issue. And God's never going to, you know, Israel's never going to give land to the Palestinian issue. But we do need to continue to pray for them. What's going to happen? Well, we know what's going to happen. Come on, we've read the end of the story. Let's don't get bamboozled and confused and deceived by these remarks that are coming out all the time. Let's go. Don't be taken by surprise. Jesus says, beware of these, and I call them unconscious hypocrites. They don't even know it many of the times. These are nice people. Yeah, they're dangerous. They might be nice, but they sure are dangerous. And it's all a part of this last day apostasy that we're seeing today to weaken the church. There's a lot of talk today about morality. There's a lot of talk today about nationality. But where is the talk about spirituality? It should be in the church today. And I don't think it is being brought forth to this nation. But we need to be a nation under God. My wife said it right, and I think it's great. You know how everybody has these signs, God bless America. Please, in our time of need. And my wife said, well, why don't you just, well, I want to get a big flag, and I want to put on it, America bless God. And I think, yeah, that should be it. We need to bless God. Now, some of you are going to run out and make a bundle on that one. Get over to the chapel store, Karen, after we break and line it up. Get T-shirts and everything, man. Oh, we got it all backwards. There's a danger going on. There's a warning that needs to be heeded. And I'm not a heresy hunter. Come on. I'm not after heretics, and I don't think we should be going after and sniffing after false prophets, but we need to understand that they will come within our very midst, and we need to deal with the issue early on and not let it overwhelm us, because there are going to be many that are going to be coming that are even in our midst today.
You're listening to Sound Doctrine and a Warning Concerning Counterfeits, part of Pastor Jeff Johnson's study in the Sermon on the Mount. For a copy of today's message on CD, give us a call at 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. You can also listen to our studies in Matthew's Gospel at our website and through our mobile app. We're on the web at sounddoctrineradio.org, and you can download the Sound Doctrine podcast app in the App Store, or get it from Google Play. Look for Sound Doctrine wherever you get your podcasts, and at oneplace.com. Here at Sound Doctrine, we're committed to helping you build your life on the sound doctrine contained in God's Word. And we have a special resource to recommend that can help you in that endeavor. It's A Passion for Jesus. This is a collection of easy-to-read daily devotions written by Kay Smith, Linnea Heitzig, Karen Johnson, Sharon Reese, Karen Pulley, Gail Mays, and more. Ladies, you'll be greatly encouraged each day as they pour out their hearts, sharing personal experiences of God's faithfulness. I think you'll find it both edifying and encouraging at the same time. Available right now at sounddoctrineradio.org. Then click on store. Or call 800-353-7553. We're grateful for your prayers and partnership. Together we can help people all over the world have access to sound doctrine in God's Word and grow as a result. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Or again, call 800-353-7553. If you find these daily studies encouraging, we'd like to know. You can email us today at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Please also mention the station you listen to. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. There's more to come in the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll pick up where we left off next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. May God richly bless you and strengthen you as you live according to sound doctrine. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, Downey. So, Father.